National media continues to exaggerate and promote misleading negative headlines designed to diminish the rule of law and those whose job it is to enforce it. Remember, the only people who want to defund the police and dismantle these agencies are the criminals. And don't forget to thank a cop. Now, let's start the show. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We have a lot going on this morning. I have a lot of announcements to make, but before we get started with all that, we have Hal Kempfer on the line. He's going to give us an update on what's happening overseas.
Well, hey, Jerry.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. There's a few things happening overseas. Probably one of the biggest things, that was just on the news, is they've worked out an arrangement. Hamas and Israel agreed to a series of relatively short ceasefires. And this is to administer a polio vaccine in the Gaza Strip. And it's kind of a 3-3-3. They've got the country divided into three parts, and they're going to do 3 8-hour pauses from 6 to 3 o'clock every day. And it's primarily to administer polio vaccinations because they've had a polio case there. And of course, the UN stepped in and everybody stepped in and said, hey, we want to stop this from becoming a polio epidemic. So that's rather interesting. It does not really weigh on the larger ceasefire negotiations, which aren't making a lot of headway right now. But it is something, and it's got a lot of attention. Meanwhile, there was a series of things going on, a series of big raids, if you will, in the West Bank. One of them took out the head of Hamas, which is the same terrorist group tied to same larger terrorist group as you see in the Gaza Strip in Jenin in the West Bank. So very targeted raids have taken place there. Of course, what's in the news is also there was a Israeli strike on an aid convoy, the U.S. Non-governmental organization providing aid. Initially, it was like, you know, everyone was kind of looking at this going, don't tell me Israel hit another, aid convoy or something, because you remember they had that horrible strike on that one several months back.
I remember.
Well, it turns out that the aid convoy had been hijacked by armed insurgents, and they hit the car with the armed insurgents and managed to get the aid delivered. And in doing so, the aid ended up getting delivered where it was supposed to get delivered. So, rather precise strike, if you look at it. Very, very time-sensitive, intelligence-sensitive, if you will. And so they hit the right guys and they actually rescued the aid convoy. Up in Ukraine, a U.S. F-16 was crashed earlier this week. Not entirely clear as to what happened. Also lost a very prominent Ukrainian pilot. And that, of course, everybody was, you know, there's not that many F-16s. They said they had about half a dozen. So there were rumors. There's a Ukrainian parliamentarian that said that a U.S.-supplied Patriot battery system had taken it out, you know, saying it was friendly fire. Nothing has confirmed that yet. No one knows the cause of attack. Maybe quite some time before or the cause of the crash. It may be quite some time before we know it. However, President Zelensky yesterday did fire the head of the Ukrainian Air Force, which indicates that there was some sort of, everybody's linking these two together, saying there was probably something wrong that the Air Force was doing or wasn't doing that led to this. And of course, the other thing is it's been confirmed. It's very clear that the Ukrainians are going to Belgorod Oblast. You may recall that they went to Kursk Oblast, very successful, very surprising, but very successful offensive into that area. Well, the little province next door that's in Russia, they're also pushing into that one. Not clear how far they're getting in that, but this is their strategy, clearly, is to move into Russian territory. With that said, they are still incrementally losing some territory on the Eastern Front, and Ukraine's had to move one of its brigades around in order to bolster that up. But it looks like they, you know, they're trying to keep the Russians from taking a key crossroads city, but it's really tough. The Russians are throwing everything in the kitchen sink at that.
That's all they have left.
It's pretty much, well, you know, in Kursk, they're sending their version of Space Force down to fight on the ground. I mean, they're running out of troops.
Wow.
They're taking Chechen volunteers, you know, from the Chechen region to fight there. They're basically scouring anywhere they can to get troops.
Are they real volunteers or are they told to volunteer?
Yes, absolutely.
There you go. Just thought I'd ask.
So anyway, I'd be remiss, and I don't want to shake it off, but Taylor Swift, again, in national security news, the deputy director of the CIA this week had said that the plot involved killing tens of thousands at those at the concerts in Vienna.
Wow.
And that got everybody's attention. Don't know what it is. There is some reference to them finding chemicals. That's all I can think is that maybe they were planning a chemical weapon. All we'd heard was explosives and using knives or something like that. But that doesn't kill tens or thousands. So all I can think is they're playing some sort of
chemical warfare.
It's in the spectrum of weapons of mass destruction, but something. But that really caught everyone by surprise. So it's been a busy week.
Yeah,
all over.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Keeps you busy. No breaks for you.
Yeah, it's been a long week. I'll just leave it at that. All right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Hal.
You bet, Sherry.
You all have right. a good weekend.
Have a great show.
All right.
Okay,
thanks.
You too. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. I want to remind everybody that on October 19th, Law Matters, Oral Valley Police Department, Department of Homeland Security, Tucson Police, and Saturn are going to be hosting our Human Trafficking Awareness event at Reed Park from 8 to 12. Hope you can come out there. There'll be a lot of resources to help people. If you know anybody who's been a victim or you suspect something's going on, there are people there can help you. On the November 11th, the Boys in Blue, and they were here a few weeks back, if you remember, they're doing their fundraiser at the Gaslight Music Hall up in Oral Valley. Go to their website and buy some tickets to support the Boys in Blue Law Enforcement Motorcycle. I don't want to call them a gang. Club? Group? Okay. So... What's the matter?
I was laughing, gang.
they're a good group of people. Okay, and don't forget that we've got our Nominate Your Favorite Veteran for a Day of Recognition contest going on in 150 words or less. Tell us about your veteran and why they should be honored in the Veterans Day Parade. Receive a huge gift basket and be interviewed on the radio show. It's really a fun thing to do. And another event we have going, which is in November, but we need you to buy your tickets before the end of September, is the Deadly Path. I think everybody heard about the Fast and the Furious, and this was one of the whistleblowers, Pete Furcelli, and he's coming in. He wrote a book about it. He's going to tell everybody what happened behind the scenes. Everybody who buys a ticket before the end of September, we'll get a copy of the book to go with it. He'll autograph it, and it should be a very good event. It's November 6th. It'll be at La Mariposa Resort. They were kind enough to help us out, and this is an educational event. People need to know what's going on.
And what time is it?
It starts at 6 o'clock. I'm glad you asked. So in the studio, we have some people here. We have Mr. Ackerley.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We have the nice one. That's what I was told. He's the nice guy. Right?
I hope so.
Okay. And we have J.L. Wittenbraker. Both of them are running for an office. You're running for treasurer.
Yes. Pima County Treasurer.
His first name is Chris. So, you know, not to be confused with your other relatives.
Well, my uncle, Ed Ackerley, did run for mayor in the last two cycles. But, yeah, he...
And how is the... The music
Julian Ackerley is the director of the Tucson Boys Chorus, and he is also one of my uncles.
He's an uncle. Okay, so you have uncles And are you related to any of them?
No, as far as I know, I'm the only Wittenbreaker in southern Arizona. As far as I know, I did hear there's a Wittenbreaker in Stafford, but...
Really?
Well, folks tend
you
to...
You have to be related. There's no way.
Probably not. There's probably... It's an unusual name in these parts of town.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, Chris, why are you running for office?
So I currently serve. I am your Pima County treasurer.
You bring any checks?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No, I did not. I will, however, be sending you a letter in the next month saying you send me a check.
No.
Sorry about that. But it's my job.
Okay.
I was appointed to the seat in April when Beth Ford, who had been the county treasurer for 24 years, retired. She had approached me about 3 years ago and said, I want to retire. This is it. This is my last term. Would you mind coming on, being chief deputy, learning the position, and running after
Smart.
I retire? And that is crucial because this is not a public policy position.
Right.
This is a truly administrative position. As treasurer, obviously, everybody knows that we collect the taxes, but if you put that in perspective, with 430,000 plus parcels in Pima County, that means we're going to process well over a million tax payments every year. So that's not a small undertaking. And then all of that money, to the tune of about $1.5 to $2 billion at any one time, is on deposit with the Treasury's office, and we essentially act as a bank for the county and all 77 other jurisdictions that fall under its umbrella, including the school districts and the fire districts and water districts and whatnot. So it is, on any given week, we'll do routinely between $100 million to $200 million in transactions. And then, of course, all of that money needs to be invested. So that's the job of this. And it is a job. And it's not one that... you can do without experience.
Right. I think somebody down in Santa Cruz County missed the mentorship portion of it.
That is my understanding. The crucial aspect of that, and I know I've gotten some questions over the last couple of weeks as that story has unfolded. Since I was appointed treasurer, I have not initiated a payment. And that's the way it's supposed to operate, right?
Yes. Even for organizations like we're a 501c3, and we have checks and balance for our, every normal organization.
Any given transaction that goes through our office is going to have at least four sets of eyes on it.
Exactly.
Right? And two different approval steps. No one person can cut a check, sign it, and send it out. It has to go through multiple steps of approval.
Very cool. Yeah.
Well, not only is Chris the nice Ackerley, he's the talkative Ackerley. and I do jest. I did run for mayor against Ed Ackerley, and Ed Ackerley is a very nice man. I respect him deeply. Tucson needs a change, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about
I didn't bring it up. You did.
I did. I just want to state some facts for the record. I'm running for Pima County Board of Supervisors, District 3, and I'm running because Pima County deserves better. They need fiscal conservative managers in office to make sure they're not overspending the tax monies of their constituency, and that's exactly what's happening now. Pima County has incurred a debt deficit in addition to overspending their budget. Now, they can point to the receipt of federal funds such as Save the America Act and these dollars that are coming in to transport people who have entered our country illegally. But still, they're spending above their budget. And we have to get back to providing core services. And those core services are allocating enough budget to the sheriff's department so they can properly enforce our laws and also ensure the humane conditions for those people who are incarcerated. And they also need to dedicate money towards roads and general safety. I found it Sherry and I know each other personally for the audience, but we met through this radio program, and I think we hit it off. I am an athlete. Sherry knows this about me. She also knows I'm an avid bird watcher, and I generally just enjoy our nature. And we have a duty to ensure our nature and our communities stay clean and safe. And recently it was decided that the Loop is no longer safe for people to recreationally enjoy the 137 miles of connected bike route and pedestrian routes and stuff. And so the Pima County has decided they're going to put two unarmed security guards to guard the 137 miles of the Loop. Not to mention, the bathrooms are unsafe to use.
And how effective is that going to be with these two unarmed guards?
Highly ineffective.
What a waste of money.
What a waste of money. And it's taking from our constituency, from our people who want to enjoy that. And we do, as Board of Supervisors, have to, again, now remembering that your sheriff is elected, your county attorney is elected, and so the Pima County's control is of the budget, and they have to make sure those funds are being used properly. And that's why I'm running for office, because as a businesswoman, and even as someone who has balanced my own checkbook, I know you cannot spend more money than what's in the bank without serious consequences.
Oh, true that. So you said something, and I don't know if you have the whole story, if anybody knows the story, about an increase, a half-cent increase in our taxes in the city of Tucson, or is it just...
For the city of Tucson, they have already met and voted on proposing a special election where they will request a half-cent sales tax increase in order to cover their debt and their deficit.
Their mistake.
Mm-hmm. They have a $2.3 billion budget. But apparently that $2.3 billion budget is not sufficient to cover all the demands of the city of Tucson. This is a county election. 2024 is a county election. Let's focus on our county. But I will tell you, and I want your audience to start thinking about it now. There is a city election in 2025. Wards 3, 5, and 6 will be up for election. Consider running for office, and if you need help with how to figure it out, contact me at janet4pima.com. There's a contact button, and I'm sure Chris could also provide information.
Been through a few elections.
Been through a few elections.
And your website, Chris?
ChrisAckerley.com.
And what may, I mean, this is not an easy thing. I have watched you go through this. This, you know, running for office is an arduous project.
It is.
Why did you, not just once, but twice, why did you decide you want to do this? And what are the steps a person has to take? And we don't want to discourage anybody from running, but we need people to run, clearly.
Okay, first of all, let me tell your audience, it's expensive. Again, please remember,
so bring your checkbook.
Janet4pima.com. There's a big donate button. And Chris, I'm sure you have
there's a donate button there as well.
Okay.
ChrisAckerley.com. And so it is expensive, but you can keep costs down. Remember, making human contact is the most effective way to get people to vote and get them to vote for you. So it's your choice on how many signs you want to put out. That is, I would say that in commercials is probably the most expensive. And if you're going to pay door knockers, that too gets very pricey. I'd much rather have volunteers knocking on doors for us, getting the word out. I am united with every Republican down ballot. We're working together. If someone knows an event, we tell one another about that event. If I'm on the door and someone wants to speak to me about the elections, I'm talking about Chris. I'm talking about our congressional candidates, our Senate candidates. I'm talking about everyone. I'm also talking about the other board members because people talk. So it is a process. It is a very detailed process to run for office. but your county clerk's office, or excuse me, your city clerk's office and your county recorder's office are there to help. I work with a very charming girl named Alex out of the county recorder's office, and that's there. But again, you can contact me, and I'll be happy to walk you through the steps. Why do it? Because our nation is in the shape it's in because we've given up on our local communities, one municipality at a time.
Governing starts from the bottom and works its way up.
Yes, ma'am.
So we need people who are dedicated, who aren't radical and actually qualified for the job.
Right. And that's one of the reasons that I received the former Board of Supervisor Sharon Bronson's endorsement, because she recognizes that I am a fiscal conservative that sees reasons and values and listening to everyone and then deciding on the best step forward. Remembering
you're a negotiator, though, you have the ability to sit down with people and hash it out and I feel this way about this because you feel this way and working it out and coming up with a solution for the bigger problem instead of no, it's my way or the highway.
Right. And my way or the highway is not a successful formula.
And don't make him mad. He'll take the checkbook and leave.
So my first career is not banking. For 22 years, I was a high school physics and math teacher.
Oh, wow.
And so it was education policy that got me involved in politics. So in 2014, I got myself elected to the legislature and served a term in the legislature serving Southern Pima County and all of Santa Cruz County. So basically 22nd Street south to the border. And so my son asked me, because campaigns are hard and they are all consuming for the course of that campaign. And, you know, one time we were driving back from Nogales and my son asked me, why do you do this? And the answer was, because sometimes I get to make a difference.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
You're doing it for the right reason, not for self-serving.
You get to make a difference.
That's one of the things when listening to the candidates, some of them are so self-serving, and I don't think they even realize it, and they, you know, come across as, it's all about me. I want to make history, or I want to, you know. It's like, what are you going to do for the rest of the people?
But for me, I'm a public servant. I spent 22 years in the classroom, right? Beth asked me to come on and do this, and I go, you know, for 22 years, I taught kids to solve problems with math. And now I get to solve problems with math. So, you know, I geek out on the actual job, and I actually love the job. But the reality is the reason we do this is because sometimes you can make a difference. And it's so important to focus on the local elections, because those are the ones that make the biggest impact on your actual quality of life
day
in the community that you live. Yes, I get all the noise at the national level, but the reality is it's the local candidates that are making the decisions that truly affect the quality of your life.
So if we ask for a tour, you're going to show us your calculator? Is that?
Well,
here it is.
We do still have some adding machines.
Okay,
and
really?
There are still some of the employees in the office. Because you got to realize, as many of the employees in that office, I mean, Beth served for 24 years. It is truly a pretty stable office.
And she did a great job.
Employees have been there for quite some time. So there's still a few that quite frequently use the adding machine. I'm not so much, but they do. And I, you know, one of the funny things was I was first day in the office, was kind of thinking, oh, this is gonna be cool. We'll get to see the big old vault. No, it's not that cool. It's a hardened steel room with a little pin pad key thing on it. It doesn't got the big wheel. I was so disappointed.
We'll see. Elect me, Chris, and we'll see what I can do for you.
Get you a big steel door.
Now, Sherry, back to your point, though, about how governing and governance is not about the individual. It's about the U.S. Constitution, the Arizona Constitution, state statute, and constituencies' needs, mm-hmm. right? The purpose of government is to govern at the consent of the governed and protect their rights. And I take that true to heart. Every single person in this county needs to have a voice. And we talk about that. You exercise that voice by voting and voting early. And remember, go all the way down the ballot. Because I'll tell you, the high cost of housing is a direct reflection of the impact fees, the property taxes, code costs, building development costs, and other ordinances that go above and beyond the International Code Council. And you really have to look at that and who's making those decisions. Well, in the case, the example I just cited, it is your Board of Supervisors.
So you need to be smart and vote. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the propositions and why you need to do your homework before you get to the voting booth.
If we want change, more than 30% of Pima County needs to vote. This is JL reminding you, we can't hear your voice if you don't use it. Please vote and vote early.
Hi, this is Sherry. On November 6th, we are hosting a presentation by retired ATF Special Agent Forselli on what really happened inside the Fast and Furious news story. This is the history you won't hear anywhere else, and every ticket gets a copy of his book, The Deadly Path. Holidays are coming, and this would make a great gift. Go to lawmatters1030.org for more information and event tickets. Tune in every Saturday morning at 8 because law matters. Tucson, more than 26% of us need to vote if you want positive change. We need people who aren't being manipulated by someone else's agenda or think their gender is a qualifying factor. Research the resumes of those who are running, sitting in an office for decades, and taking online classes does not prepare you for these positions. Over and above college degrees, continued training, street smarts, and field experience, honesty and integrity matters. Get informed and please vote. Hi, this is Sherry. We should all be very grateful for our military. Without them, we would not be a free country. And 150 words or less, tell us about your favorite veteran for a chance to win a day of recognition. Be honored in the Veterans Day Parade, receive a gift basket, and be interviewed on the Law Matters radio show. For contest details, go to lawmatters1030.org website and tune in every Saturday morning at 8 because law matters. Hi, this is Sherry. On November 6th, we are hosting a presentation by retired ATF Special Agent Forselli on what really happened inside the Fast and Furious news story. This is the history you won't hear anywhere else, and every ticket gets a copy of his book, The Deadly Path. Holidays are coming, and this would make a great gift. Go to lawmatters1030.org for more information and event tickets. Tune in every Saturday morning at 8 because law matters.
If we want change, more than 30% of Pima County needs to vote. This is JL reminding you, we can't hear your voice if you don't use it. Please vote and vote early.
Thanks for staying with us. In the studio, we have Chris Ackerley running for treasurer, and we have Janet JL Wittenbrecker. And we're talking about voting, why we're voting, why we're running to be a candidate, because it's so hard to do. Are there any of these propositions that I've printed out here that you want to talk about more than another, anything that hits you?
I think every proposition is very important. I did write an argument against bringing up the service individuals' minimum wage to match the minimum wage, because essentially tipped individuals that receive tips,
okay,
are their employers are able to pay them, I think it's 3% less, I'd have to have the proposition in front of me, than other minimum wages. That's because they receive tips. And that proposition is striving to bring up that minimum wage, which seems like a great idea for our people who are serving and receiving tips. However, it jeopardizes their employment in the same sense, because now their employers are caused to pay them more money. And then their tips on top of it, those employers can make a decision what to just get rid of the tips then. And I used to wait tables. As a matter of fact, when I first went to college, I was a Bob's Big Boy gal. I even had to wear the little...
You worked for Bob's Big Boy? So did I.
Did you?
I was one of their trainers in Illinois. I still have the doll in the package.
Oh, that's just terrible.
Peter Piper Pizza was my first job. And then after that, I got a job in the banquets department at Westin La Paloma.
Oh, so wow, very that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, that Bob's Big Boy, though, you can't...
Yeah, I can't match Bob's
you
can't
No, you cannot. No.
I can't match Bob's
Burger,
Big Boy.
Fries dipped in blue cheese, special blue cheese, followed by a hot fudge sundae.
Yeah.
The brownie sundae.
Brownies.
So that's when I was much younger and able to eat a little bit more than I can now. But as someone who worked in the restaurant industry, those tips are your income. It's a way to actually make more money than relying on an employer. And that's by providing good service.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this proposition takes that away from individuals.
Yeah, that's the way I read it, too.
Yes.
So, you know, I just briefly went through the propositions, and I didn't highlight that one, but you're right. It's like, okay, this is an oxymoron. You're doing this, and you...
And remember, when you write an argument against a proposition, that helps people make a decision. An argument against or for, you're limited to 300 words. So when I speak to your audience, and if they have an interest in getting involved in politics or a particular passion towards something, that's one way their voice can be heard. It's too late now, but next elections, pay attention. When the city proposes their half-cent tax increase, you have the ability to write an argument against or for.
And there's a whole lot of authors out there, I'm sure. There's going to be a few people. You know, and if it was something that was credible, but when, you know, you're like the county sheriff, he spends more than he has. Why? You're not supposed to be doing that. Stop it. Cut it out.
Yeah.
So.
And remind me of that proposition number.
The one is 138.
138.
You're not taking notes. Do you need a pen?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
There'll be a podcast.
There'll be a podcast. I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you afterwards. There's a lot of things going on with these propositions. The one that I kind of like is the one that says provide for life imprisonment for an individual who's convicted of sex trafficking of child.
Right. Now, remember, when a child is sex trafficked, it's not just a one-time occurrence.
No, it's not.
It happens multiple times a day. And to recover from something like that is very difficult, if not sometimes impossible. As a matter of fact, I'd say you never recover from sexual victimization. You just don't. It sounds, in a society where we want people to rehabilitate and actually want to have reintroduce them into society, it sounds harsh, but sex trafficking is a very... It's very difficult. Someone who's attracted to children.
It's a sickness.
It's a sickness.
And they'll never, all the therapy in the world will never cure them of that sickness. It just teaches them how to maybe control it. And that's not always possible. They should be locked up. All of them.
And that's proposition number
313.
There's a lot of propositions on the ballot this year. You can't see.
I've got two pages of propositions
sure, yes.
sitting here.
And the expectation is the ballot is going to be really, really long and will probably be multiple pages, which is going to be vitally important that people take some time to consider. And please, as we've said before, all the way down the ballot, make informed choices on all of the ones, because it's so tempting to just go in there and vote for the top of the ticket and forget the rest.
The
other stuff. But you got to go all the way down to the bottom. So obviously my position, it is not really political, right? It is an administrative position. And so the propositions, of course, that I've been focused on are the ones that actually affect my office, which are the school bond and override elections.
Okay, which one's that?
I don't believe that they're from the...
I don't have it.
Yeah, those are the ones that are going to be local because they're local to each school district.
Right.
So they're not countywide. But... those are the ones that I was focusing on. And like I said, I don't think that my position should be political. My opponent obviously doesn't agree. He believes that he should be using the county money to advance a political agenda. I'm like, no, my job is to keep the money safe, make sure the checks get paid, they don't bounce, and get the best return on the investment that I can do and stay clear of the politics. The politics happens at the Board of Supervisors level to make those decisions. My job is to keep everybody on the rails and make sure that the money is safe.
There's a few positions I really have always felt that they should be independent, like the sheriff, the prosecutor, your position, any law enforcement thing. I just like they should be independent. They shouldn't be declaring Democrat or Republican, because you don't pull somebody over and say, are you a Democrat or a Republican? You do your job.
Well, as a partisan, I might argue that point, but I would also respectfully say to Chris, I don't believe the Board of Supervisors should be political either.
True.
Again, it boils down to the constitutions. I say that plural because U.S. and Arizona and state statute. Now, there are ordinances passed by our Board of Supervisors. They need to be well thought through and not based on political decisions, but what is better for the mass of people, not the minority people.
Right.
Who benefits? Benefiting the entire community, including the minorities and majorities, right?
Exactly.
So the propositions are very complicated. You know, and I know that they're sometimes written somewhat backwards, and it's hard to figure out
they
how to vote.
Double negatives, and a no means yes, and a yes means no.
Absolutely.
I just think they should be illegal.
But if I may, just real quick, I know there are several organizations, some partisan, hosting meetings so you can get informed. So irrespective of what party you are, all you have to do is contact your party's office and ask them, are you hosting any functions, or are you aware of anyone hosting functions? I know of some, but I'm not running it, so I don't think I'm at liberty to release that information. But if you do send me an email, I'll put you in contact with whomever is hosting that event.
Yeah, because you need to do your homework before you get to the voting booth. I say this every year, even when there are no propositions, do your homework. You want to get in, get it, and get out. So read the paperwork that they send you and take a cheat sheet. I always took a cheat sheet with me. Yes, no, maybe, take it with you. Get in and get it done.
And for those who, and I'll turn it over to Chris in one second, to talk about being talkative, right?
I didn't want to say anything.
For those people who receive a mail ballot, you have the luxury of sitting at home.
I love my mail-in ballot.
And carefully reviewing. You have the luxury of picking up the phone and saying, hey, informed voter, help me understand this proposition. Don't let anyone sway your vote, but ask them to help you understand the proposition. Okay, Chris, your turn.
and local candidates are accessible.
Yes,
right?
They are.
My phone number's on my Facebook page, right? You can call, and it goes to my cell phone, and I will answer it, and I will answer your questions. Right?
So give us your phone number.
And 520-406-8946.
There you go.
There you go. It's there. It is not a classified secret. And to that end, also, because the property tax system in Arizona, and for that matter, Pima County, is actually very complex when you dig into all the details, My office is going to be hosting a series the second week in September, from the 10th to the 15th, a series of Ask the Treasurer sessions, where when you get property tax statements will be available online, probably we're targeting September 5th, and then be mailed out again that same day, and then over the course of the month, depending upon what type of notice you get. So you can look them up online and come join me at one of those sessions. We'll do a brief presentation on the property tax structure, and then answer any questions you might have about how property taxes work, about how the money gets collected, and how the money gets distributed. If you go to to.pima.gov, there will be a link there where you can see the times and places. So we'll be at the east side at the Miller Library one day, at Abbott Library, at the Oral Valley Library, at the Joyner Library in Green Valley, and at the Quincy Douglas Library over the course of that week.
Now, you're sure those libraries aren't closing, right?
To my knowledge, they won't be closed in the next month.
Okay. Are you?
And I'm sorry, not to be one-upped by Chris. My phone number is 520-275-1491. Don't call me right now because I'm on the radio, but if you do have questions, please feel free to call me.
This is a live show. If you have a question, call 790-2040 and ask them. There is a Proposition 312. Are you familiar with this one? Allow the property owner to apply for a property tax refund in certain circumstances?
Yes. Yes. So this was a one that was put on the ballot by the legislature. The basic contention was that if the city was not responding and providing the services that they were supposed to do, that you would say, well, I want my money back because you didn't do what you said you were going to do with the money back. And I totally understand the principle. Being the person in the office, I'm kind of scared of the mechanics of the whole situation because that gets really, really, really dicey. Because the reality is, right, I don't have any authority to decide who pays and who doesn't pay taxes. Oftentimes people think I do, especially, for instance, when remind me to explain this a little bit further, but oftentimes people think that because they didn't get a bill and that it finally catches up to them and there's interest attached to it, that I have the ability to waive that interest. Statutorily, I don't. The only thing that I can do, and in cases where we go back and we actually find a mistake from the assessor or from the tax roll that there was truly a legitimate mistake, I can propose to the Board of Supervisors that they abate the taxes, but I don't even have the authority to wipe that on.
So you
on
have
my
to go.
Yeah.
It's like going in front of them for a hearing.
Well, they generally put it on the consent agenda, but the point being is yes, they could ask questions about it and stuff. So it has to be approved by the Board of Supervisors. So this one, while I totally understand the intent, and I absolutely believe that, particularly in our neck of the woods, the Pima County and the city of Tucson need to do a better job of providing basic services, the mechanics kind of truly scare me.
The law enforcement is doing their job. I think the problem is with the county attorney not prosecuting. And when I called, there's somebody in the Green Party, and I called him to find out, you know, okay, what's your background? What do you do? And he doesn't think there's a problem with theft in Tucson. He thinks these companies are restructuring. I said, well, no, they're leaving town because of the theft and it's not being prosecuted. And, you know, the frustration level is just through the roof with law enforcement. They grab these guys, they take them in, and the cases aren't being prosecuted. That's a problem. Huge problem. And it's affecting all of us.
And this goes to, and when I served in the legislature, I also had this issue. And being in the legislature, I will admit I'm probably guilty of, you know, voting yes on a few of them myself. But the reality is there is nothing
that the state legislature can pass, or for that matter, the federal government can pass, that can make up for having competent, thoughtful, responsible local government. They are the ones that are directly in control. So I get the impetus to try to dictate from the top to try to fix these things, but the reality is you have to elect quality people to your school boards, to your city councils,
that's
to your board of supervisors.
Quality people who are wanting to do it for the betterment of the mass, greater good, not self-serving individuals.
So I get the impetus behind that, but by electing a competent sheriff, by electing quality, competent board of supervisors, you're going to make a much bigger impact on that than that actual proposition.
And also considering a run in 2025 for city council seats 3, 5, and 6. You have to live in that ward, but remember the vote is citywide. My experience in running for mayor is I actually would have been your mayor if folks would have voted. Only 24% showed up. Voting, again, is a big part of making sure you have that responsible, qualified local government.
And research the people that you're voting for. Don't just check it off, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It doesn't work that way. Personally, I'm not voting for the county attorney, and I'm not voting for the sheriff. I think leaving it blank also sends a huge message.
Well, I think it's very important to research, again, as a partisan, you can all take this for what it's worth, but your school boards are nonpartisan elections, as was Marana and as was Oro Valley. You really, in those cases, now, whatever party you align with, and you really need to research all your candidates, but if you align with a certain party, you have a general sense of where that candidate may be coming from. If you ask me, I would say the Republicans are more stable. And what I mean by stable, I'm gonna correct that real quick.
Okay. No.
Let me correct it. What I meant by that is in philosophy, there's the middle right and the far right. The Democrat Party, in my opinion, is going through some growing pains. And some of these philosophies I not only disagree with, I find them offensive. But we'll keep it non-political. I'm getting the look. And but I'll go back to, if it's a nonpartisan election, it's incumbent on you to research those candidates and reach out to them and interview them. Again, our candidates are accessible.
Yes, they are accessible. And do public records search as well, not just
and you know, we have
interview.
A little bit of a difficulty with media coverage in our area, because there's not a whole lot that focuses, thank goodness for KVOI, right? Because this radio station gives shows like yours an opportunity to do focus on local matters, and then there are a few of the independent newspapers that do it, but for the most part,
the Luminaria is a great. They do some really in-depth research.
But what goes out to the mass public, if anybody even reads a newspaper
anymore?
Not a whole lot of in-depth coverage on local politics. Is there some great independents, and you know, having represented Southern Arizona, you know, but give a shout out to Green Valley News, but the reality is. But there are organizations to do it, and they're not that hard to find. So, for instance, I know this afternoon, I believe your forum with the League of Women Voters is happening.
At 10:30 this morning.
I did one with them last Saturday, and pretty much between the Clean Elections Commission and the legal organizations like the League of Women Voters, if there's a race that you need to do some research on, there'll be video of a forum where those candidates sat and answered questions. And I absolutely encourage people to go out and take a look at those. If there's a race that you need to do some research on, somebody will have a forum out there for.
Yeah, and you can find a lot of this stuff online and watch their interviews and kind of decide for yourself. Do it in the comfort of your own home if you can't get out. but they are online.
Yeah, and shout out to the League of Women Voters. They do a great job with recording. Unfortunately, the NAACP was unable to coordinate a forum this year. They thought they could host one, and I don't understand the particulars, or I'm not informed of the particulars, but they had to cancel. But there's another forum, and I'll say, as far as my candidacy goes, my forums that I attended as a mayor candidate are posted on my website, and as soon as the other forums are published, they will be posted on my website.
So where are you going to be at 10:30 today?
Pima Community College downtown, the Amethyst Room. For someone who has a lisp, the animist is such a tough word.
Amethyst.
Thank you.
So that's with the League of Women Voters?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And it's at 10:30. And if we can, real quick, I have some important dates. Can we share those important dates?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, folks, when we say vote and vote early, it's no joke. Get your vote in. Don't waste. So last day to register to vote is October 7th. If you're not registered, you don't have to register with a party. The general election is open to everyone, and you can vote however you choose to vote. But and or if you are interested in registering with a party, those party offices can help you get registered. You can also go on to the Motor Vehicle Division and register, or the state Secretary of State. Also, then early voting and mail-in ballots go out October 9th. October 25th is the last day to request your vote by mail ballot if that's how you choose to vote. October 29th is the recommended date to return your ballot. I do want to remind people you can also drop your ballot off at the polling place, but please do so by October 29th. And the reason I ask that, I make that request of you, is because if you drop off your mail-in ballot on election day, you delay the process.
Yes, because it still has to go through the verification process. That takes time. And then it gets sent over to be counted. And I want to talk about Proposition 140, which is open primaries. And this, all the independents out there, it doesn't take a lot of time to declare who you want to, you know, which party you want to influence, but it's kind of a pain. So if they have open primaries where they send the ballots out, here's your primary, you're going to vote for who you're going to vote for. And I'm all for the open primary thing, because I had to go change my affiliation after the election. I had to go back and change it again. People aren't going to do that. People who just want to go vote aren't going to go through that process if you're an independent.
Well, so, as an independent, you can request a party ballot. Independents don't go on the primary, but you can request a party ballot. You don't have to change your affiliation.
Yes, you do. I had to get a ballot.
For the presidential preference election.
That's for the primary.
That should be quoted. It's only for the presidential preference election.
It was for sheriff. It was for every. I had to change my affiliation.
Then
somebody misinformed
you, because if you are not registered as a party, right? If you're not registered with a party, if you are independent or no party declared, you have the ability to request either the Republican or the Democrat primary ballot, and you shouldn't have to change your registration to do
that. Yeah, they told me I had to.
So that's,
and I've got the little card, and then I had to go back and change it again, change it back again, and I heard that from Ms. Kelly.
So that's why you have our phone numbers. Call us. We can set you straight. And I did forget the most important date, and that's November 5th. If you don't vote early, make sure you vote on November 5th.
Absolutely.
And vote. And I am old school. I am not on the early voter list. I go to the polls, right? But I do it early sometimes when I realize that you know, that I'm not going to be able to make the time frame on actual election day. It's really simple to go to one of those voting locations, those early voting locations, go in, grab a ballot, and vote. But the key here is, as Mrs. Wittenbrecker was saying, is if you have an early ballot and you drop it off with in the envelope in the box on election day, it means it's going to be counted a week later after they do the verification process. So,
yes, so
and for
vote
some,
early,
and for
put
some,
it in the mail. But
for someone slightly younger than Chris, at least I think I am, I'm new school, and you can track your ballot. I'm Ellen Beck saying,
they send you an email saying, hey, we got it. Hey, it's been counted. It's been verified. The whole process, and it's
get registered if you're not. Vote.
Vote, vote, vote. Please vote.
Vote.
Okay. And until next week, shop local and stay safe.